This last little section of the occult, we've been looking at a number of different things. In fact, this little section, we talked about fortune telling, witchcraft, astrology, all of those things. Last time it was more of fortune telling, and we talked about palm reading and tarot cards and what we called mirror magician, in which these so-called people use mirrors somehow to decide something. And then we kind of just got to Gene Dixon. This is kind of where we stopped. Gene Dixon was famous for being so-called a prophet. And when she was growing up, she met this person who gave her a crystal ball, and she began her psychic career. And in her book, she has a book called, and we talked about this already, so I'm just reviewing real quickly, a book called The Call to Glory. And she said, it's my belief that God has given me the gift of prophecy. Now, we all know this, that in the Scripture, there were people who were prophets. What exactly is a prophet? Anybody know? What is a prophet? One who does what? He prophesies, gets direct revelation from God. Now, in the Old Testament, a prophet, and there were prophets in the New Testament, by the way. In fact, the foundation of the church is the apostles and prophets, getting direct revelation from God. In fact, all of the Scripture that you have in the New Testament came from prophets. Paul, Peter, James, the Scripture is revelation in a written form. That's all it is. And so in the Old Testament, when the Bible talked about a prophet, one of the things they did to make sure that you'd say this person really was a prophet, what was it? Anytime that they would make a prophecy, what? Has to come true. If it doesn't come true, they're not a prophet of God. I mentioned this last week, and I want to mention it again. Gene Dixon had a number of prophecies that weren't true. I gave them to you last week. Let me give them to you again. She predicted that World War III would begin in 1954. She was wrong. She predicted the Vietnam War would end in 1966. It ended in 1975. On October 19th, 1968, she predicted that Jacqueline Kennedy would not marry the next day she married Aristotle Onassis. She predicted that Castro would be overthrown from Cuba and leave the island. I think he's still there. He's still there. And that she predicted that the Russians would be the first to put men on the moon. We did. Now, those are five predictions that she missed. She says that she believes she's been given the gift of prophecy from God. She has not been given the gift of prophecy from God because she missed it. She's a false prophet. So anyway, we talked about that. Let me end this section of the occult part two with the old idea of witchcraft. That's, I think we started that last time. Did we get into the witchcraft? Oh, not? We did? Okay, well, and I talked about in the past 3 decades in America and Western Europe, there's been a resurgence of what we call paganism and witchcraft, the revival of cults and gods and goddesses and the mystery cults. Witchcraft, as I said, is a generic term which is also called Wicca, sometimes called Wiccan. Basically, modern witchcraft started from a guy named Gerald Gardner in 1884 to 1964, and that's his life. He wrote a book in 1954 called Witchcraft Today. And let me give you some information. I think we talked about this last time. But what do witches believe? And this is called a Wicca primer. And I mentioned it last time. They worship the great mother goddess and her partners, the horned god Pan. Now, that's what they believe. There are people on the campus. There are people in this community who are Wiccans, who are witches. And this is what they believe. They worship the mother goddess, and then she has partners. They got a lot of different names. I read them last week. In fact, here are some of the names of the people that they call it. Sometimes the mother goddess is called Aphrodite, Artemis, Ashtaroth, Arstar, Athene, Venus, Isis, and then Gaia, a whole bunch of other names. And then the horn god is sometimes called Pan, but also called Adonis, Amun-Ra, Apollo, Lucifer, Osiris, Eros, Phinehas, and Hades. Those are just names, different names of the same so-called gods and goddesses that they hold to. They tie in more with the seasons of the year and those kind of things. It says, who is the mother goddess? She is the female aspect of the all, and has many names, including Diana, Isis, and Demeter. She is a threefold form. Okay, Wiccan, the Wiccan witches, do they cast spells? This is from Wiccan, and they say no. Spells are just one of the many activities that we engage in, although unlike Satanists, see, witches say they're not Satanists. They don't worship Satan. A lot of people think they do. There's some confusion there. How does a Wiccan group work? There are autonomous groups of 26 people. The idea up to 26 people, 4 to 26. Ideal group is 13. They form covens, which meet semi-monthly at new and full moons. So about every 2 weeks, when you look at the moon, when it's a new moon or a full moon, that's when they're supposed to meet. They tie in the 8 major solar festivals. So they do everything around the sun and the moon and all of that sort of thing. So we talked about that last time. This is from the Council of the American Witches. This is some of their beliefs. We practice to attune ourselves with the natural rhythm of life forces marked by the phases of the moon and the seasonal quarters and cross quarters. We recognize that our intelligence gives us a unique responsibility toward our environment. We seek to live in harmony with nature. We acknowledge a depth of power far greater than is apparent to the average person. Because it is far greater than the ordinary, it is sometimes called the supernatural. But we see it as lying within everyone, and it is naturally potential to all people. We conceive of the created power in the universe as manifesting through masculine and feminine. There's a creative power. It's not a God. They don't call it God. They call it a creative power in the universe. We recognize no authoritative hierarchy, but we do honor those who teach and respect those who have great knowledge. Calling oneself a witch does not make a witch. A witch seeks to control the forces within himself or herself and make life possible in order to live wisely and without harm to others and in harmony with all nature. We do not accept the concept of absolute evil, nor do we worship any entity known as Satan or the devil. We believe that we should seek within nature that which is contributing to our health and well-being. So they worship nature. This paganism, what paganism really is just worshiping the nature and the world around us and those kind of things. There are 3 pillars of witchcraft. I think we got to these last time. There's animism, pantheism, and polytheism. Animism means a life force is in all creation. Animism means that there's some kind of force and energy in all things. The earth, the magnification of the earth goddess, who has all these different names. So they actually worship the earth, she's called Aphrodite, Diana, Artemis, Astaroth, Venus, those kind of things. Pantheism is that God is everything, or everything is God. So not only is there animism, which means there's a life force in all things, but there is God in everything, or everything really is God. We've talked about pantheism before, and there are a lot of people who hold a pantheism, or a lot of cults and groups that hold a pantheism, meaning that they would say that God's in the chair, God's in the air, God's in the sky, God is in every person, God is in everything. So that's pantheism. And then they have what we call, of course, polytheism, which means multiple gods and goddesses. And they, as you go back to times like Greeks and the Romans and the Greek mythology and all the different gods and goddesses there, they hold to the same sort of thing. They have multiple levels of reality and things to be worshipped. And I mentioned a while ago modern witchcraft. They have the mother goddess, the horn god, and most witches experience, believe in, invoke, or worship the mother or triple goddess and her male consort, the horn god. Both are believed to be deities acceptable or accessible to humanity. So human beings are able to connect with these gods and goddesses, and that's what they believe. Now, you and I look at that and we go, that's so dumb. And yet, there are people in this town. There are people in this community that call themselves Wiccan witches, and they believe these things. They say, when we get a full moon, that's something special. When you get a new moon, that's something special. When the solar times change, that's something special. That there are gods or goddesses out there that you can call upon their names. And there's a mother goddess who controls all things. And there's the consort with her, which is the horn goddess, which is Pan or whoever. And that's why when you hear of Peter Pan, you might think back a little bit who Peter Pan was. You know, he was a horn goddess, is what he really was. Okay, often they will not admit that witchcraft ultimately goes back to Satan and the worship of Satan. The bottom line is this: if you worship anything other than the true God, what are you really worshiping? I mean, you're going back to Satan. You're going back. In all of creation, there is the true God, and then there is demonic beings. There aren't any other gods. There's only one God ever. There are no other gods out there. People have called them gods, and people have worshipped things that are not gods. But the truth is, as Paul says, there's only one God, and we know that. Paul says we know that there's only one God. Ephesians 2:2 says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The bottom line is this. There is a fallen world. It is controlled by Satan. And that's what really all the other fall, all anything other than worshiping the true God ultimately goes back to Satanism, even though most people don't want to say that. I mean, when we start with Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Reverend Sun, you know, Sun Moon and Mary Baker Eddy and Transcendental Meditation and L. Ron Hubbard and everything that we studied over these weeks, all they're doing is rejecting the true God and going to something else. And the only other thing that really is we call it the false gods, but they're not really a god. It's just Satanism, really. That's what's so sad. The whole idea of witches, what they want to say is sort of like Glinda in The Wizard of Oz, are you a good witch or a bad witch? The truth is a witch worships falseness. If they really say they're a witch and they believe that there's a mother goddess and that the moon is something to worship and to build your life around. And we talked about it, the horoscope, what are people doing there, trying to tell the fortune through the stars. It's really bad. What have we seen? We've seen the occult deals with the supernatural. We've seen astrology and fortune telling and witchcraft and those kind of things. And sometimes these things almost look okay, so you have to be real careful, but they're not. Let me give you some application, and then I want to say another thing or two, and then if we can get into the beginning of the very last lesson. But number one, be grounded. This is one of the things we've been saying all along. We must know what we believe. When we did a study on the cults, one of the things that we said at the very beginning, we're not studying the cults just to know what the cults believe. We have to be grounded in knowing what we believe. We have to know what we believe about salvation and the Bible and Jesus Christ, and we have to be grounded in that so that when we talk with these cults, and by the way, all of them reject Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. They reject that salvation is a gift by faith. They reject the Bible. They either add something to it or reject it as a whole. And so anytime you deal with these people, if you are grounded and what you believe about Christ and salvation and the Bible, you will be ready to give an answer. In fact, that's number two, is to be ready to share, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us if you know a little bit about what these people believe. And I don't want you to spend all your time trying to figure out what the cults believe. That's not the real key issue. But if you have a basic understanding, then you can be ready to share because you know what you believe. I think that, and we'll talk about this in our last study, but how do we deal with all this? I think the key, and I don't even want to wait till getting to that last section, but the truth is this. When you encounter people who hold to these different views, if they're coming to your door, if they're talking about it, take the offensive by giving them the truth of the Bible and giving them the gospel and giving them the truth. Sometimes people want to say, I'll invite the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, the cults, I'll invite these people in and I'll let them give me their spiel. I don't let them give me their spiel. I tell them I already know their spiel. I've already studied their spiel. I said, I've already studied what you believe. I've rejected what you believe. Would you like to know the truth? I'd be glad to spend some time to tell you about Jesus Christ and about salvation, but I don't need to know what you believe. Yes. Oh, what's my what? Yeah, okay, we talked about this several weeks ago, but a Ouija board is a very dangerous thing. We talked about things like Dungeons and Dragons and Ouija boards and tarot cards and all that. A lot of people think it's a game. We had a slide that showed children's toys, and in the midst of the children's toys, there are pink, was it pink Ouija boards? Wasn't that what it was? They were in a pink package, and it's like a kid's game. But a Ouija board is not a kid's game. A Ouija board is a way that some people, even unexpectedly, can deal with the cult. Same way Dungeons and Dragons, any of those games like that people think they're just games, they're not games. So I would recommend that people stay away from things like Ouija boards, tarot cards, any of those kind of things, because they're dangerous. In the Old Testament, and in fact, let me read this. When you enter the land which the Lord, this is Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall be not found among you anyone who makes a son or daughter pass through the fire. That means to offer him to a false god. One who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or one who is a medium, or one who is a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. He was saying, when you go into the land, don't do those kind of things because it's detestable. And so even today, the people who are doing palm reading and tarot cards and Ouija boards and crystal balls and the crystals and astrology and all that, that's really all God's word says. Don't even deal with that stuff. So I just always recommend not to mess around with the things like that, because it opens the door to a connection with demonic forces. It really does. Did you have a point? Yeah. Okay, Gothic and witches. I don't know a lot about the Goth stuff. I know that it's sort of a dress and a phase and maybe a way to be. But I don't know if the connection there is witchcraft at all or not. I don't know anything about this. Anybody else know anything about the whole Gothic thing that people are doing and wearing the, what is it? It's usually dark black stuff. And yeah, anybody know anything about that? I don't know much about it. I've seen people who are dressed like that. I think because of the way they look, sometimes it looks really bad, and so people think maybe they're into witchcraft or devils or something. Who knows? I don't know. I kind of always thought you try to look the best you can look, not necessarily the worst you can look. But for some, it's hard to tell which one you're going for. But yes. It is. Well, it's directed to the nation of Israel as they went into the land. But what God was saying to them is, don't do these sort of things that these pagans, that these unbelieving people in the land were doing. And so we can make an application that if God told his people to stay away from that kind of thing, we can say as the body of Christ, as believers, we probably ought to stay away from things like that, because he calls it detestable practices. We certainly wouldn't say, let's offer our children as sacrifices and burn them up to a god. We wouldn't do that. He calls that a detestable practice. But he puts in that same thing, those who practice witchcraft, divination, omens, sorcerers, cast spells, mediums, spiritists, ones who call up the dead. He says, don't deal with any of that kind of thing. And it's everywhere. I wanted to bring this up. This is in, I just got this just the other day. I found it. USA Today, March 16th. Here's a picture of a woman. You can't see it, but it's a woman, and there's a man sitting across the desk from her, and she's got his hand, and what she's doing is she's telling his future. It says this: psychic business senses fortune. Uncertain economic times have more looking to different sources for guidance. What the article is about is, because the uncertainty of our times, and because people don't know what the stock market's going to do, more and more people are going to psychics and fortune tellers, seeing if they can find what the future holds. Listen to what this is. It says, evidence indicates that psychics, astrologers, palm readers, tarot card shufflers, numerologists, and other paranormal specialists have become the rage as investment advisors and brokers appear clueless. After all, if the times aren't normal, why not try the paranormal? Many women are calling psychics who never thought they would call a psychic, says Mary Felder, marketing director of Psychic Source. An online network of 165 clairvoyants who consult by phone. You can call them and they'll tell you your future. They'll tell you what's going to happen. You know, have you ever noticed that, have you ever seen the ones that fortune tellers on TV and then they went out of business? Wouldn't you think they'd see that coming? Right? Right? Wouldn't you think that? Wouldn't you think they'd know they were going to go out of business? Thomas Kramer, marketing professor at Baruch College in New York, who studies consumer behavior, understands why some people are afraid to look at their 401k. They may gaze into a crystal ball. In times of uncertainty and stress, people tend to rely on superstition or magic. In times of stress, who do we rely on? Our Savior Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to a psychic or a card reader or a fortune teller or a crystal ball. Nina Melrose, 42, from Dallas. Is that the bell? Yeah. She's a Dallas soothsayer who reads palms and tarot cards, advises clients on which stocks to buy, basing her picks solely on her psychic ability. She declines to say how good she's been doing. Yeah, everybody's gone down, so she's been fine. Morrison, this is another one. Morrison, this is Valerie Morrison. She's the one in the picture. She charges $85 a half hour. That's not bad, is it, to be a psychic? Look, if you, I'll do it for 45. You know, I'll do it for 45. She charges $85 a half hour, has increased her schedule from 3 days a week to 5 because of the rising demand. She tells her clients to buy gold and silver and sell their antiques and pass up new clothes. Anything they can do to put cash in their safe. Yeah, that's from a psychic. Okay. Another psychic tells people to be very conservative. Look, you don't have to be a psychic to tell people to be conservative, right? My gosh. People go, here's $85. Tell me that. We could tell them that for nothing. Oh, Baxter, 52, third generation psychic. She says that her line of work has become much more acceptable in mainstream because a lot of mainstream things we're relying on have collapsed. People are scared, uncertain. And they're willing to take more of a non-traditional approach. That's USA Today just, what, a week ago? Marxist, you know, well, 2 weeks ago. Psychic business booming. Can you imagine in your life, because of concern about the future, that you would go to a psychic or a tarot card person or anything like that when you have Jesus Christ? Who holds the future in his hand? Who takes care of us? Who's the provider, protector? Jesus, we don't need anything like that. My gracious. Yes. Well, because probably many of these people, who knows what their background is. You know, we're becoming less and less a Christian nation, less and less people who actually believe the Bible and God and all of that. We become more spiritual, which is all the things we've been talking about, and that's what happens. Hazel, did you have something? Well, it's true. That's why she said, don't open up your mind to these demonic things, really. And it is true. You don't want to play around with some of these kind of things. It is a dangerous thing. People act like it's a joke. There's the TV show, Nightline. Was it Nightline you were telling me about? And they had four people. Two were going to argue for the existence of Satan, and two were going to argue for the non-existence of Satan. Satan and hell. So two were saying there really is a devil and there really is a hell. And two others, one of them a former pastor from Tulsa, was saying, no, there is no hell and there is no devil. There are a lot of people who would say there is no devil. They would say, you're talking about demonic stuff. There's no such thing. I mean, it's just life. But the bottom line is, what did Jesus say? There is a fallen world system. There is a devil. There is demonic forces. There is an angel who was the guardian of throne, which rebelled against God. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Those passages are there. The Bible is accurate and true. So if you think that we're being silly or that we're just kind of on the fringe because we'd say stay away from anything like even the horoscope, you know, tarot cards, crystals, crystal balls, fortune tellers, tarot cards, Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons. You stay away from all that stuff. No sense in putting that in your mind and in your life. You take a chance, and the Bible, he told the nation of Israel, don't do that. And we should the same thing. So, third away. And that is the third one right there. Stay away from it. It's wrong and it's dangerous, and I think that's true. Okay, we got about a minute, so we'll get to another one. Get to the very final thing next week. What about questions, comments, input on any of this we've done talking about? Yes.
I have a question. I've sent on Nightline for 60 minutes about the use of poisonous snakes in the church service. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, is that an occult thing? It's like they were Pentecostal or maybe Baptist.
Okay, or maybe Baptist. Yeah. Okay. In the Gospel of Mark, at the very end, there's a place where it says that they will drink poison and not die. They will be able to handle serpents and not die. And there's some people who have taken that and said that in their worship services, they will call it called snake handling, and they will take serpent snakes, poisonous snakes, and they will handle them, showing that they're true Christians because Mark 16 says something like they'll be able to handle snakes and not die. There's a couple of things about Mark 16. One is that the very last part of Mark is a disputed passage to begin with because we're not even sure if that's part of the original. But number two, if you look at the flow of the passage, it was most likely talking about the apostles. Because if you remember, Paul was on Malta and got bit by a snake, a serpent that was poisonous, and he shook it off and it went, and he didn't get sick from it. He didn't die, and the people realized he must be from God. So I think if you take the passage in Mark as accurate, it's probably dealing more with the apostles. But some people have taken that and they've put it into their worship. And so you've probably heard in your life that some people call, oh, those are the snake handlers. And there are some groups. I don't know. I'm not going to say they're not Christian. Some Christian groups, churches that handle snakes, and usually it's more of the Pentecostal group that I've seen historically do that. So you saw that on Nightline, people doing that?
Yeah.
The bill has it run? It has? Second one?
Just did.
Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our study. Lord, help us to be able to put this together. Lord, we realize there's a lot of stuff out there. Help us to be able to understand it. Help us to be ready to give an answer for everyone, to everyone, for the hope that is in us. And Lord, help us to stay away from these things. It's not silly. It's dangerous. Use us for your glory, Lord, and help us as we finish everything next week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.